Irene Corby also resigned, having landed a job as an office girl in New York City. Later, she would marry the rather dashing Vincent Laporte, a man with piercing blue eyes who worked in advertising. Those who left were quickly replaced. Sarah Mylifer managed to get a position for her little sister, Marguerite Carlo, in August 1919. She was a dynamic young woman who wore rouge and lipstick and liked dramatic clothes. Smart, tailored coats with outsized lapels and wide-brimmed hats with feathered edges. Marguerite became best friends with the little sister of Josephine Smith, Genevieve, who had also started working there. Another close friend was Albina Maggia, who was still slaving away over her trays of dials, having seen her younger sister marry ahead of her. Albina didn't resent Quinta's happiness, but she couldn't help but wonder when her time might come. That summer, she too decided to leave, returning to hat trimming. It was a time of change all round. That same summer, Congress passed the 19th Amendment, giving women the right to vote. Grace Fryer, for one, couldn't wait to make it count. At the plant, too, change was afoot. Soon a new chemist and future vice president, Howard Barker, together with von Zahotsky, started playing around with the recipe of the luminous paint, substituting mesothorium for radium. A memo revealed, "Barker would just mix whatever he had around the place and sell it, 50-50 or 10% mesothorium and 90% radium, or whatever." Mesothorium was an isotope of radium, dubbed radium-228 to denote its difference to the normal radium-226, also radioactive, but with a half-life of 6.7 years, in contrast to radium-226's 1,600 years. It was more abrasive than radium and, crucially for the firm, much cheaper. In the studio, meanwhile, the girls, for some unknown reason, were asked to try a new technique. Edna Bowles remembered, "They passed little cloths around. We were supposed to wipe the brush on this little cloth instead of putting it in our mouth." "But within a month," Edna said, "they were taken away from us. We were not allowed to use the cloths. It wasted too much of the radium." She concluded, "The lips were resorted to as the better way." It was important to the company that the production process was as efficient as possible, because the demand for luminous products showed no signs of slowing, even now the war was over. In 1919, much to new Treasurer Arthur Roeder's delight, there was a production high, 2.2 million luminous watches. No wonder Catherine Sharp was feeling tired. That fall she noticed cracking and stiffness of her legs. She was feeling in poor spirits generally, as her mother had passed away that year. Catherine became closer to her father, William, as they grieved. Yet life, as Catherine's orphan cousin Irene Rudolph knew too well, goes on, even when those we love die. She and Catherine could do nothing but knuckle down to their jobs, alongside their fellow workers still toiling in the dust-filled studio. Marguerite Carlo and her sister Sarah Mylifer, Edna Bowles and Grace Fryer, Hazel Vincent and Helen Quinlan, Jenny Stocker and, still making everyone laugh, Ella Eckert and Molly Maggia, who were in fact two of the fastest workers, despite their hijinks at the company socials. They played hard, but they were tough workers too. You had to be to keep your job. Still, the endless orders came. The company began to consider its post-war strategy. It resolved to expand its presence in the field of radium medicine. Arthur Roeder also oversaw the trademarking of Undark,